13, lesson number 6, the vineyard of the Lord. Okay, as we begin this morning, John Grigowski, could I ask you to direct our minds in prayer? Okay, now, in this section of our material, we're studying about the nature of the church. The nature of the church, meaning fundamental characteristics of, or fundamental characteristic of the church. And we've seen how the church, a fundamental characteristic of the church is that it is a called out body. It is a household of God. It is a kingdom. It's the body of Christ. And it's a spiritual building or a temple of God. And now, in lesson 6, the characteristic that we're going to look at is the vineyard of the Lord. So, the church is being likened unto a vineyard here, according to our material, and in Scripture, for that matter. And the first part of our material, section 1, begins with sowing the seed. And deals with the parable of the sower. So let's all turn to the 13th chapter of Matthew. And as we begin to talk about parables and the kingdom or the church, can anyone tell me what is a parable? Joey?
It's a story which is metaphorical in nature, and it's used to teach a more important spiritual lesson.
Okay, a parable, in fact, does teach a spiritual lesson or a spiritual truth, doesn't it? A parable is not a myth, it's not a fable. It teaches a spiritual truth. Well, they're based on
in Luke chapter 16, he calls this person by name. He says, the last
Lazarus and a certain rich man. Right. Well, a parable certainly is drawn from human circumstances. Let's put it that way.
And in particular, in Luke chapter 16, are these real people?
Those are real people. Lazarus and a certain rich man. But interestingly enough, if you do look up a definition according to Vine, it literally denotes a placing beside. It signifies a placing of one thing beside another with a view to comparison. Or in other words, a narrative drawn whose object is to teach a spiritual lesson. So the laying beside, we have a narrative of human circumstances laid beside a spiritual truth. So that's what the definition is getting at. Literally denoting a placing beside. Joey?
I think the passage that David references is interesting in that it appears to be unique. Generally speaking, when the Lord taught parables, he spoke in generic terms, like the parable story says, "Behold, a sower went out to sow." So this is a person, but he's not named.
Right.
Now, in the case of his story, the character is actually named, and I believe that's very unique and very rare, which would seem to indicate it's not a parable in the traditional sense. Actually, a real event that maybe seems like a parable on the surface, but it's a real event that is using to teach a spiritual lesson.
It's a real event, John.
A parable is just a story to teach something else. I mean, it's
more hypothetical in nature.
Well, Samuel did the same thing with David and Bathsheba.
Right.
So, I mean, it doesn't necessitate that people are real or not. It's a story that people, an example, technology.
Okay. So now we have, in the 13th chapter of Matthew here, beginning the third verse, "Behold, a sower went out to sow." And Jesus later on, I believe in the 18th or about the 19th verse of the 13th chapter, refers to this as a parable of the sower. But what did a vineyard have? Well, a vineyard certainly did have soil. There was seed planted in a vineyard. A vineyard had laborers. A vineyard had a reward at the end of the day, did it not? Okay. Now, not to exactly skip ahead, but we would move over to the 20th. The 20th chapter of Matthew, and in verse 1, about the first 16 verses of the 20th chapter is another parable about laborers in a vineyard. And here we have Jesus saying, "For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard." Okay. So what we're going to look at is how the church is like a vineyard. Now, we have a sower. And who could we say that the ultimate sower was or is?
Christ.
Christ. Okay. Christ, the apostles, and then to faithful Christians who in turn could teach others. It may be that in the 13th chapter of Matthew here that the immediate reference of the sower is to Christ, but it's certainly a very fair use of the parable to apply this to the church and to every single Christian today. And then we have the seed. And David Skinner, could I get you to read Luke 8 and verse 11? No, Luke 8 and verse 11. No wonder that didn't sound right to me. The seed is the Word of God. All right, so what happens in this parable? As a sower goes out to sow, the sower goes out to the field, it goes out to the vineyard, and the sower broadcasts the seed. And what happens to that seed? Well, it falls by the wayside, and birds come and devour the seed. Some fell on stony places, and some fell among thorns, and others fell on good ground. Okay. So how is this description of the seed being broadcast like the church? What is this saying about the seed? The seed is the gospel. What happens to the gospel? Joey?
Well, the quality of the seed is the same no matter where it lands. But the different parts of the earth receive the seed differently. In other words, some of the seed ends up in good soil, some of the seed ends up not in good soil. So the point being there is that the same quality seed will bear fruit when it's received by a part of the earth that makes that possible. In other words, the good soil.
Okay, now, let's see. Richard, Joey's bringing up a point about the quality of the seed. I think there were some commandments about the quality of the seed, so to speak, under the old law. Could you read for us, I think, the 22nd chapter of Deuteronomy and about verse 9?
Deuteronomy 22:9 says, Thou shalt not sow thy vineyard with two kinds of seed, lest the whole fruit be forfeited, the seed which thou hast sown and the increase of the vineyard.
Okay. So you shall not sow with two kinds of seed. You will not mix your seed. Now, Joey mentioned that about the quality of the seed. The same seed was to be sown. The Word of God, the gospel. In other words, to use a simple example, if you plant 10 rows of tomato seeds, you're going to get 10 rows of tomatoes. You're not going to get five rows of tomatoes and four rows of some other kind of vegetable, four rows of zucchini, and a row of or hills of yellow crookneck squash, are you? You're going to get tomatoes. Now the point being, if you sow the seed, you sow the Word of God, you're going to get Christians. Joey?
And in addition to that, if you don't get the desired result, it's not the fault of the seed. And that's another point that we need to get rid of. So if the same word is preached to two people, and in one case it bears fruit, and in another case it doesn't bear fruit, you can't blame. The fault is not with the word that was preached. The fault is with the person who rejected it.
Well, and you bring up an interesting point there, too, that if we look at this parable from the standpoint of the soils, the different kinds of soils, do we see that there's responsibility there? David?
I'm not sure I'm answering that question. But
okay.
Just taking in soil, there are soil amendments, there's fertilizer, there's compost, and you can fix that soil. And that's like feeding the soil. And so if we're talking about people, it's up to the people or Christians to be the good soil.
That's right. And by the way, I hope you all remember that probably it was, I think, maybe back around November or December of last year, I think we had probably about four bulletin articles on the parable of the sower. John?
The soil represents the hearts of men, and the point that's being made there is that some people will be receptive to the gospel and some won't. And they were all treated fairly in that they received the same word, the seed. But some people are receptive to the gospel and some are not. That's the very point.
I think that what answers this this discussion is actually about the 23rd verse of the parable. Now we see, but he who received seed on the good ground is he who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and produces some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. We see Jesus making a connection here between hearing, meaning between understanding the word and bearing fruit. Richard?
I was going to say we got to make sure that we differentiate here between the sower and the seed. I mean, it's already been stated that the seed is the word of God. And so the seed, when planted, will produce fruit. And it is then up to the sower to sow properly and accurately. If I'm hand-broadcasting seed, I'm sure going to try not to get it in the turn rows and things like that. I'm going to try not to get it in the rocky places. But the fact of the matter is that I can't help but do that. And so just as Jesus preached the gospel and not everyone heard, as a matter of fact, the minority of the people, in my opinion, heard and understood, as is said in verse, 24, 23, the word went forth, and the word is the pure gospel, and the seed, rather, is the pure gospel and the word of God. The sower then has a responsibility to do things. And I don't know, I looked through the lesson here, I'm not sure that we'll get into it, but there are four types of ground being spoken
right
here. But the fourth type of ground is called a good soil, still brings forth 30, 60, mm, or 100 fold. And you'll notice that even in a field that has been properly turned and such like as that, you can sow the crop equally, and there are some places that it simply won't grow as well.
Well, now this let's talk about that, about the seed falling by the wayside. You know, this wayside area really has a reference to, like, you might think of like a long path, maybe on one side of the vineyard, or maybe a long path through the middle of the vineyard, but a long path where the ground is very hard, caked, it hasn't been tilled, the ground hasn't been prepared. It's very much like what Richard is referring to in one house I owned, and I could plant fruit trees in just about every part of that backyard except one area. And it didn't even matter whether or not it was a fruit tree. It was any kind of tree. In one particular area of the yard, I tried about three different times to get a tree to grow there, and every time I planted a tree there, it died. So a tree just simply would not grow in that part, in that section of the yard for some reason. There was something about or something wrong with the soil there. But that's why the seed is not taking the... Chris?
Another point again, the verse 19 makes the point that in the parable, the soil represents the heart of man. Heard it said, and I didn't come up with this expression, but I think it's applicable, that our responsibility is to be seed sowers and not soil testers. In fact, it's only Jesus had the ability to see into the hearts of men, and last I checked, I don't believe any of us here have the ability to see into the hearts of men, to see and to test those hearts, to find out, you know, who's going to respond and who's not, and so forth. Who's going to respond initially, but then have problems later, and so forth. And
right.
We don't have that ability to look into people's hearts and to see who's going to receive it, or who's going to receive it for a while, and that type of thing.
We don't have the ability to play God, do we? And what is it? Let's remember what Paul wrote. I planted, Apollos watered, and what? And God gave the increase. Sometimes if we're preaching and teaching the Word of God and we don't see the growth take place numerically that we think in our minds ought to take place, we necessarily think there's something wrong, don't we? We think we've failed. But yet Paul said God gave the increase. Lynn?
It's just and I think it's along the line of when we think we failed or when things aren't going as well, it's only 30-fold instead of 100-fold. In Isaiah 55:11, God says that His word will go forth and it will accomplish what He says. So it's a promise that it will do what He says it will do. And that should give us a lot of encouragement.
David?
She just said what you did. This makes it Moses went before Pharaoh. There were people again, I'm trying to, you know, see, but it's more in connection with the Joyce statement.
Well, you know, Pharaoh's heart, in other words, Pharaoh's heart was very much like the wayside soil, wasn't it? It was hardened. God's word hardened Pharaoh's heart. Pharaoh didn't like what he heard.
But he still heard it.
He still heard it, and the difference is Pharaoh really didn't understand it. Understood some things, but... And I'm just relating that to the parable because, really, I think in if we look at the 19th verse of the parable, that when anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is he who received seed by the wayside. Okay, let's not forget in this parable that Jesus is making a connection between hearing and understanding, understanding and bearing fruit. Okay? Let's never lose that connection. Now, Chris brought up that this parable is talking about the hearts of men. And this is, yeah, Daryl?
Well, I was thinking about this. That's the point. The lack of understanding.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you think about it, the message of salvation, people first of all have to believe that we do live after this first death. Second of all, that's the first understanding. The second understanding is that we're told that we have, just to put it in simple terms, eternal bliss. Euphoria beyond anything that we could imagine or look forward to on this planet. So no one in their right mind would really understood that. Understanding the first point of belief. No one in their right mind would not want to be part of that. So simple logic tells us, and according to Scripture, they don't understand it. So that lack of understanding is a vacuum whereby Satan comes in and snatches whatever understanding they might have.
Okay. Okay, good point. Now, this parable represents the hearts of men. Do we see that these different kinds of soil, when we are preaching and when we are teaching the Word of God, there are different people, there are different hearts, there are different soils that the gospel is going to be broadcast to. Joey?
It's important to note that God doesn't discriminate. Like you said, you used the word broadcast. The same gospel, in other words, the quality of the seed, the same gospel is made available to everybody. And I know that it's going to yield different results because the hearts of men are not all the same. But God is no respecter of persons in that. He reminds me of the scripture, God is not willing that any should
perish, but that all should come to repentance.
So he's made this salvation available to everybody. He doesn't discriminate. It's just that, unfortunately, since everybody has their own free will, some people will choose to receive and understand it and bear fruit, and some won't. But nobody can blame God and say that somebody else had an advantage over them, because God treated everybody fairly and made the same gospel and the same kind of salvation available to everybody.
Right. And so, and as you were mentioning, Daryl, we see that Satan will blind people to the facts of what you're talking about. Blind people to... Yes?
One point on what you always say, we know probably better than most of the quote-unquote churches in this world or in the United States, all the different contradictions, who are out there preaching a corrupted quote-unquote gospel, and that has to have some effect on the listener. So we're talking, going back to the word here, we're talking about the truth being
Right. And that's a different seed. That's a different seed. That's not planting the seed known as the word of God. So we have some seed. There are going to be some hearts like the wayside soil. There are going to be some that are in the second soil, I believe, is the rocky or the stony soil. Where we lived at one time on Whidbey Island, northwest of Seattle, the island was known as the Rock, and it was very difficult, except in just certain lower areas, very, very difficult to have a garden on your place, because you would dig down, get more than about 6 inches down, and you were hitting rocks. And not a lot of topsoil there, so whenever you tried to plant something, there was not much opportunity for that plant to take root and establish roots and take root in soil that had a lot of nutrients in it. So any inclement weather that came along, the plants were gone. So, there's going to be a kind of soil out there. There's going to be a kind of heart out there that is what, according to verse 20. But he who received the seed on stony places, this is he who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures only for a while. So tribulation and persecution arise because of the word, and immediately he stumbles. So we have the wayside soil, and we have the stony soil. It's one thing to receive the Word of God and have a lot of emotion about it, but we need to have that emotion well rooted and well grounded in the Word of God, don't we? If I can use the phrase, just an emotional reception of the Word of God without a foundation, and that person will not survive as a Christian. I think that's that's the lesson here about the stony soil, and that's, as we're broadcasting the seed, that is the kind of heart that will be broadcast too, as well as the wayside. And then we have some seed falling on soil that contains what?
Thorns.
And what do the thorns? And this soil is a hearer of the word, but there are thorns in the soil, such as the cares of the world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the pleasures of life, as related over in Luke 8 and about verse 14. Joey, could I get you to read Luke 21 and verses 34 through 36?
Luke 21, what were the verses?
34 through 36. Mm-hmm.
But take heed to yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down with carousing, drunkenness, and cares of this life, and that day come upon you unexpectedly, for it will come as a snare on all those who dwell in the face of the whole earth. Watch therefore and pray always that you may be counted worthy to escape all these things that will come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man.
Okay, now here's some understanding that we need. Like Jesus is making a connection between understanding and bearing fruit. Here's some understanding that we need, that the cares of the world are going to be so distracting to us or to this kind of soil that it can cause us to be unprepared. And let's see, James, can I get you to read the 12th chapter of Luke in verses 29 through 32? Okay, so again we see that the cares of this world can distract us from what's really important. David?
I was thinking at this day and age when the economy is really uprooted right now, and it'd be an easy time for people to really get into the cares of this world.
Yes. Get completely distracted.
Maybe said simply, sometimes maybe that might be a little easier than you think.
Well, you might, look at Galatians chapter 5 and verse 17. And could you read that for us?
Galatians 5 and 17?
Yeah. Okay. So we see that the flesh can divert our minds from things of the Spirit, just like you were mentioning about the the upheaval in society today, financially speaking. David, if you're still there in Galatians, over in the next chapter, and the sixth chapter, read verses 7 through 9. Okay, so we need to sow to the Spirit, not sow to the flesh. Joey?
Regarding this, these thorns here, we see this principle exemplified in the lives of characters in the Bible, both in a positive and negative way. There's the character that forsook Paul because he loved the cares of this world more. Was that Demas or Paul? I forget his name. So here, he's an example of a person who is guilty of this very thing. He preferred the cares of this world so much that he forsook Paul. On the other side of the coin, we see as an example of Moses, who chose to rather suffer with the people of God rather than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. So, he's the opposite example of somebody who did not prefer the cares of this world, but rather he preferred to remain right with God.
Okay. Now, so let's make the connection here again between understanding and bearing fruit. If we do not understand that the cares of this world can cause us to be unprepared, that riches are deceitful, they're ephemeral, they're temporary, they're not lasting, that the pleasures of life, sowing to the flesh, can cause us not to sow to the Spirit. If we don't have that kind of understanding, then our soil, our hearts can be choked out by the thorns. Again, in the parable, understanding and bearing fruit. And then we have the fourth soil, known as the good soil. And what kind of soil is this? Simply put, Joey?
Are you asking me?
Yeah.
This represents the portion of the earth or soil, if you will, that bears fruit. Where people that receive the gospel don't just, quit a week or a month or a year later, but endure throughout the rest of their life. And we see, somebody pointed out, it might have been Richard, I'm sure, somebody pointed out that even within in this console, you see different levels of production of fruit. And we clearly understand what that means. There's people in that remain Christians faithfully their whole life.
Oh, somewhat like the parable of the talents.
Some bear more fruit than others.
Yeah. Somewhat like the parable of the talents.
Exactly.
Where they're given talents according to their several abilities.
Right.
Okay, so Joy, as a matter of fact, you might read Luke 8 and verse 15. Okay. So the noble and good heart, the word with a noble and good heart, and keeps it and bears fruit with patience. Let's.
Terry, and this class of person that's being addressed now reminds me of the verse in Revelations that talks about the person that remains faithful unto death.
We see hearts like this are probably very much like the Bereans in the 17th chapter of Acts. They search the scriptures daily. That's all she wrote. Okay. God willing, we will pick up with the end of the parable of the sower next week. Thank you.
Mount